Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. And we bring in Meredith Cain. Meredith, we haven't really heard from you in the first couple podcasts, but now you are all in, and you're going to help us out with the mailbag.
Yeah, we tweeted out from @GameDayCLE. We wanted your questions. We got a ton of really good questions, so we're going to get right into it. We're going to start with Ramos at Where is Ramos? If the Browns don't re-sign Clowney, what are their best options opposite of Myles Garrett?
I have a quick answer on this, Darryl, and I really want to hear what your answer is. I don't know. Are they – I mean, Chase Winovich, it seems like a place they – like, I don't think they're going to make any more moves. I think Winovich is going to have an unbelievable opportunity to make his mark here in Cleveland, and you also have Alex Wright. But outside of those guys, what do you think?
I think that's the road that they're going to go. If they don't bring back Clowney, they're going to go with what they have on the roster. And – they really like Alex Wright. They feel like he has the potential to be an impact player. I don't know necessarily what type of an impact he's going to have as a rookie. Third-round pick, though, we see third, fourth-round guys all the time come out and do some pretty great things in the league. So I think it comes down to a competition between Alex Wright and Chase Winovich in training camp.
So I'll follow up on that question. This is not Ramos. This is my question to you guys.
Right.
So I'm virtually tweeting at GameDayCLE. If Jadeveon Clowney does not re-sign with the Browns, where do you think he'll wind up?
Oh, that's a good question. I think whoever wants to write the biggest check. What do you think, Darryl?
Bingo. Yeah, I like guys that are open, honest, candid. I have no problems with players saying it's all about the money. And that's basically what Jadeveon Clowney said in his season-ending press conference at First Energy Stadium after that season finale, the win over the Bengals. He's like, hey, man, this is my chance to get paid, man. I got through the season healthy. I feel great. I'm not falling apart for the first time in a long time. So this is my chance to kind of cash in. I think that Jadeveon Clowney felt like he was going to get a multi-year contract this offseason that was going to pay him some rather large money. I don't know necessarily that market has materialized. He's not in a hurry to sign. I don't think that's necessarily reason for anybody to worry. I think that that's Jadeveon Clowney. Remember, it took him a while to sign with the Browns last offseason. You know, part of this, too, is guys just don't want to come in. Some of these guys don't want to come in and do the offseason program stuff, whether it's the OTAs, mandatory minicamp, and all that type of stuff. But, yeah, I think that Jadeveon Clowney will go where he can get paid.
Boom. Agree.
Our next question comes from Will Reese at WReese27 on Twitter. Do you think they sign Fuller?
I do not. I think that pretty much this offseason the Browns are – done, so to speak, shopping. I think that I would like them to sign Will Fuller. That would be great. I just don't think realistically. I would be disingenuous to our audience if I was like, oh yeah, they're going to go after Will Fuller. They're definitely in the running. I don't know that that's realistic at this point as far as where Andrew Berry is thinking. Because remember, Berry needs to sign Barry needs to save some salary cap space here too. They've spent a lot of cash already this offseason. They need to save some cap space because they're going to have to do some restructures in the coming years. Barry has to look for today as well as look for tomorrow. I think he had last year, I think he played for like $10 million. I don't know that Barry would want to spend that much money at this point. So I feel like it. I feel like it's unrealistic. I don't know how Andy feels, but that's just where I'm at.
I just don't see them going out. I mean, as much as you may like Will Fuller, and obviously he's got some experience, and it'd be great to bring him in, you already have, you know, two guys on that in that wide receiving core that are 6 foot. I mean, you brought in David Bell for a reason. So you've got Amari Cooper, who's like, what, six one. David Bell's in the same place right there. I mean, I just don't know if bringing in another high receiver like that, although it'd be great to have him, and I would love to see him on the team. I just don't – like, would they be duplicating something that they think they might be able to get out of David Bell? That's the only – you know, is every wide receiver on this team going to be 6 foot? I don't know if that's the answer.
Well, right? And I want to put a bow on we kind of put a bow on Baker Mayfield. I kind of want to put a bow on the Jarvis Landry conversation real quick too, because it ties into Will Fuller. Look, if the Browns wanted to keep Jarvis Landry, they would have kept Jarvis Landry. This constant dissection of Jarvis Landry and the contract he got from the Saints, and, well, why didn't the Browns do that? The Browns could have done that. Look, they didn't want to do it. That's why. They didn't want to do it, clearly. So, end of story. If they wanted to keep him, they could have. They decided not to. They made a business decision. They made a football decision. Endo storio.
Next.
Our next question comes from Joey C. at the Browns Fan 123 on Twitter. He has a question and a request. His request says, please share more stories of behind the scenes in past Browns years. Those are fun to hear, but we're going to put a pin in that because we're definitely going to do that later. So stay tuned, Joey C. We will get to that part. But his question is, do you think Perrion Winfrey makes a huge impact in the defense this year?
I'll lead for a second. The Browns better believe that he's going to, because the investment that they've made in that defensive front isn't what they've done in other positions. So, Daryl, that's the one spot that really scares me, is the interior defensive line. And if you're going to spend a fourth-round pick. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that he's got to play right away? No, but I hope he can. I mean, look, if he can live up to the words that are coming out of his mouth, he'll be an all-pro.
Yeah, I agree 100%. He really is a ball of energy. We've talked about it. And he looks big in person. Seeing him one-on-one, he looks like he's a pretty big guy. But he's going to get the opportunity, Joey. That's the answer to the question. I know that's not the crystal clear cut answer you're looking for, but he is going to get the opportunity. You look at the interior defensive line, you've got Tommy Togiai, fourth-round pick from last year out of Ohio State. Jordan Elliott right now I've got penciled in as one of the starting defensive tackles. I don't know if Sheldon Day or Taven Bryan is the other starting defensive tackle at this point. They've got another rookie, a couple of them, I should say, Glenn Logan and Perry are in there too.
Roderick Perry?
Yeah, Roderick Perry. So there's not a lot of depth on that defensive line, not named Myles Garrett. Let's just be honest about it. That's not to say they don't have talent at those positions. It's just right now it's an unknown quantity. So, yeah, Perry and Winfrey absolutely will have an opportunity to contribute. Will he? Unfortunately, we don't know that just yet. We'll see.
All right, we got two more questions. This one comes from @BrownsElf 2022. How important are relationships between media and players as well as media and fans?
When I look at that question, I just think, you know, questions don't matter a lot of times when it comes from the reporter, because it's the answers that matter when you're listening to what a player's saying, because that's really what the fans want. And I don't know, I've always felt like, and I'm sure I'm interested to hear what Daryl has to say about this too, that we've always been this conduit to try to be able to help you. Well, I think the conduit's changed dramatically because fans have the opportunity through social media to try to contact players one-on-one, and sometimes players want to respond, sometimes they don't. I do like social media sometimes because, especially for the players on one side, because it gives them the opportunity to say things in full sound bites. Like, you know, sometimes when we do a 2020, you're only going to hear like 15 seconds of what somebody said. So the one thing about, you know, new media I think that is exciting is that it gives players a little bit more of an opportunity, but it also gives us, like, you know, even on this podcast, it gives us a chance to talk a little bit more about our feelings and our emotions sometimes. And I do think that the relationship between players and media is very, very important. And I think it helps out fans if there's a good relationship between the media and the players. We know what it looks like when it's ugly, and then people either want to turn on the media or they want to turn on the player. And the interesting thing is, and I think I learned this right away when I was covering the Indians and with when I was with them every day. And Daryl can speak to this too, that there's a huge difference between being a reporter that just jumps in every once in a while and doesn't really have a good feel for a locker room or a clubhouse and someone who is there every day. There's a different relationship. And, you know, you get to build these relationships, and sometimes players want the story to be told. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes you're just sitting there and you're talking, and you really get to know these people. And I think sometimes when I look at people call someone a bum, it drives me nuts because, you know, a player who makes it to the highest level in sports, and this is just me talking as a sports person, it is impossible. I mean, look at the percentages of how high it is, how hard it is to become a professional athlete. And when I hear fans in the stands call someone a bum or call someone bad, or that guy is 1,000 times better than the best guy you ever played with in high school. And I think fans lose perspective of that sometimes because of the entertainment aspect of it. So I've always been really sensitive to that, about especially someone who would call someone a bum. Like, that drives me nuts because, if you don't spend 5 seconds with someone, I think that's kind of a personal attack. And these guys put tons of work into it. And, yes, every once in a while we have guys that don't want to be there, and it's funny when the stories come out, but I don't know, that relationship is gigantic, and building those relationships, especially where Daryl is right now, it is like the lifeline of your livelihood, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would say critical. You know, there's nothing more uncomfortable than when a player is beefing with a member of the media, especially in the group setting now. And we've seen that the last couple of years, you know, with Baker Mayfield. There are times where it's just really uncomfortable to be around. And so I've always tried to treat players with respect. I'm there to convey their message to the fans. Social media today has afforded athletes the opportunity to convey their own message and not really have to use the media as much to do that. They can do it unfiltered. They can do it in a live environment as well. They can hop on Instagram Live or Twitter has a live feature, tweets, Instagram posts. I mean, you know, all that kind of stuff becomes news. But yeah, it comes down to treating players with respect. I don't go into a locker room trying to get a guy. I don't go after guys. I'm not out to get anybody. I'm not out to make anyone look bad. I'm not out to make anyone look good. I'm not there to be anybody's friend. You know, I'm not there to go get beers with somebody after practice or whatever. That's not the job. My job is to convey to fans what's going on with the team and the players on the team. And sometimes the picture, especially over the years with the Browns, it's a very ugly picture to paint. I go back to the story I told on a previous podcast, right? Duke Johnson being very, very angry with me because I made a snide comment on Twitter on a video that I posted of guys dancing. Players are missing reps. Coaches are yelling at the players for missing reps. The team is not focused. They're not winning football games. So it got to a point where I felt fans really needed to know that you know, this is the clown stuff that was going on at practice. And this is part of the reason why they're not winning. and they don't seem to really care that they're not winning, even though deep down they do. And that's why Duke had the problem with me, because of course he cared about winning and losing games. And he felt personally insulted that I would say something like that. And so that happens. And anytime you have those disagreements with players, it's important to, you know, clear the air with that guy there, because again, you know, there's nothing worse than having an adversarial relationship. And I'll be honest with fans. There have been times in recent years where going to cover the Browns has felt like a 100% complete adversarial relationship and environment, and that's not the way it's supposed to be, and it's not the way it needs to be. It's not the way it should be. So yeah, it's important. Is it important for fans? My skin, obviously, I admit, needs to be thicker than it is, but it's tough when you get 1,000 people tweeting expletives and obscenities at you and vulgarities. It's tough to have thick skin in that regard. I try and channel what players and coaches always talk about as far as tuning out the noise. I get it, man. It's hard, man. It really is hard to tune out the noise, and I have a lot of respect for professional athletes. Like Andy said, I mean, they have reached the highest level of competitive sport, and they are paid professionally, and they're paid a lot of money, you know, to do right. what they do. And so there's some inherent built-in respect there, but I can't stress enough, I am never there to make somebody look bad or look good. I'm not there to be their friend. I'm not out to get anybody. I'm not, you know, I'm not out to attack somebody personally or even professionally. If the guy's not playing well, unfortunately, I got to say he's not playing well. The least favorite part of my job, believe it or not, is to say a team or a player sucks. I know that's shocking for people to hear because we do it so much, but
right.
I don't like doing it because, yeah, I can't do what they do. I can't. I'm not qualified. I'm not built for it. I don't have the mental skill. I don't have the physical skill. That's the least part of the job is to tell fans, yeah, your team sucks this year. Sorry. Quarterback sucks. Receiver sucks. Offensive lines. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not fun.
Right.
I much prefer covering – winning teams and because everyone's usually most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time when teams are winning, guys are in good moods and stuff like that. Covering losing teams is just really, really hard because nobody wants to talk. The media is not wanted in the locker room because obviously a lot of the stories aren't very positive and the players don't want to deal with negative stories or negative storylines and stuff like that. But, yeah, relationships matter in our business, absolutely 100%.
And I'm going to add one little piece to this too. For an athlete to get good press, all they really need to do is say hi. I hate to say this. There's a difference between an athlete that walks around the clubhouse or walks around the locker room with a scowl on their face. Like, I always – it's a pretty simple rule. I mean, like, if I see somebody – and we all know – you know, I'm not saying go out of your way to say hi to somebody, but if you're walking by somebody, you can always just say, hey, hey. And a reporter's going to look at that guy and go, oh, that guy's not such a bad guy. And then it becomes harder to write or say or have this bad attitude towards an athlete when all they had to do was say hi in the first place. I'm not expecting everybody
– yeah, because if we know you don't like us already – and we feel like we're already fighting the uphill battle. It's a lot easier. First of all, it's very uncomfortable, right? Because there are times like
isn't it amazing though?
I'll use Baker as an example. Like when Baker would come into the locker room, like I know that that's the last place Baker Mayfield wants to be. Now he was professional. He stood up there. He would answer the questions. But like I knew that that's the last place he wanted to be was answering questions from reporters, right? And that's right. something that's not something you want to exude. Privately, you can be like these dirty, rotten sons of guns and whatever, right? You never want to project that you hate the media because once the media knows you hate them, and again, these guys are human beings. They have families who read and hear and see and all that stuff. And I'm sure they hear and see it as well. It does the human element, unfortunately, in our business does get lost, right? Because it's become media relationships today are a lot more antiseptic than they used to be because it's get in, get your soundbite, get out, or get in, get your quote and get out, right? And the days of being able to just walk up and have a 20-minute conversation with a guy, those aren't there anymore because if players don't have to be in the locker room when the media is in there, they're not. They stay away. But, you know, remembering that these guys are people and not treating them transactionally, you know what I'm saying? Like just a name on a locker or a name on a door. And it's hard to do when you have an organization and a team that just has constant turnover and you don't get to know guys and they're here for a year or two and then they're gone. That makes it even more difficult when you have that revolving door. But yeah, you know, I always try and remember that these guys are human beings. They have families. They have this is their livelihood. This is their job. I think that it's important to remember that the human element that's involved.
All right, last out. Here we go. Last question.
One more question. I know we're running out of time, but I had to get this one in. This is from @Mike_Kavanaugh. Does Daryl have a burner account to see what Watson posts on Twitter?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question. And the honest-to-God answer is no. I have one Twitter account, and that is it. Fun story. So when the fans signed on in 2011 and I was hired, the company mandated that I include fan in my account because my account used to be @RightOrWrong.
Correct.
And they came to me and said, Daryl, you have to put fan in your account. You work for me. Okay, no problem. Within like 2 minutes of me changing my Twitter handle, somebody grabbed my original Twitter handle @RightOrWrong.
Oh, no.
And parked it. Yeah. And so I lost that. And there's a bunch of so understand. There is only one account that I have, and it's @RightOrWrongFan. I don't have burner accounts. Look, I don't have the energy to run my own account at times, let alone to have a burner account. So I know that people do that. I know fans do it, and it's hysterical because I will block a fan because they said something that I consider to be offensive or disrespectful to me, and I'm like, well, fine, I'm going to do you the solid and block you. Because clearly you don't like me. And then you get upset because I block it. And I will see, hey, you're a jerk because you blocked this account. It's clearly their backup Twitter account. So I am amused that fans have those backup accounts or whatever. But I promise you, if it's not RightOrWrongFan on Twitter, it is not me. I just don't have the time or energy to have secondary burner accounts. I really don't. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter enough to me to have a burner account as well. But great question. That I appreciate the chuckle. I kind of needed that.
He's Daryl Ryder, Meredith Kane. Outstanding job today. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Baskin, do you have a burner account?
I do not have a burner account. I got
to
tell you.
I had to get you on the record.
No, I don't have a burner account. Especially like when we first started, I would get angry at some of the tweets we got on the radio, and then it would affect the whole show, and it would affect everything. And then all of a sudden, I found that mute button, and I found serenity.
@GameDayCLE is my burner account.
All right, kids, we got to roll. It was a great show. We'll talk to you again. Again, we'll probably drop another podcast on Monday, and we like to drop them on Mondays and Thursdays. So, but, you know, when something happens, we'll be right there for you, and we got you back. It's always Game Day in Cleveland, produced by Meredith Kane. Thank you very much. Daryl Ryder, that's him. I'm Andy Baskin. If you like what you are hearing, remember to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And in the future, if you want to be a part of the show, @GameDayCLE. It's always Game Day in Cleveland.